The solemnity of Christ, the King of the universe. How many people have prayed with that today? I have a sneaking suspicion it's hard for us as Americans to kind of get into this feast. And not just because we're still recovering from Thanksgiving and the tryptophan is still cycling through your system, but I think it's hard for us to understand kings simply because our nation is founded on a revolt against a king. So we don't have kings. We have elected officials. And when they don't please us anymore, we can vote them out. But that's not Christianity, my friends. And so it's hard for us to dive into this and really get the heart of what Christ the King is. However, all of us tonight, and most of us every day, pray a great prayer that goes like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If we pray that rather than just say that, not only are we asking for a kingdom to come, but we're also asking for a king. We need a king. Brothers and sisters, in the spiritual life, something is always ruling us. Something. The question is what or who? If Christ the King is ruling our hearts, we have freedom. If anything or anyone else is ruling our hearts, we are enslaved. But who is this King that we honor and say that we serve? What kind of king is he? Is he a king at all? Last week, people noticed this. People have been asking about this. This symbol. How many people have seen this before? All right, all of you are looking at it now, so you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that before. It's the key row. To us, it looks like a PX, but it's a key and a row, two letters in Greek. The first two letters of Christos, Christ, the anointed one. That isn't a last name, that's a title. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ, not Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed one. Jesus, the Messiah. In the biblical narrative, the people of Israel are longing for the Messiah to come and establish a kingdom, for the definitive king to come. Jesus comes. But he establishes a kingdom so different than the ones that people thought, the ones they had experienced, predicated on earthly power. Jesus doesn't establish that kingdom. We have that symbol there to remind us that we serve a different type of king. Often kings are about monuments to their victories. There's our monuments. You want to know the royal road that Jesus walks? Look at the way of the cross. By the way, those are worthy of your time to pray with those, not just to look at them, to see what the Lord speaks to us through the way that he walked, the royal road of the cross. What a king. Not powerful in the ways of the world, but powerful in the ways that matter to God. What a king. Here's his throne. Here's his victory. Different, my friends. Why this king for us? Because that king, the one who reigns from the cross, the one who rules from the cross, is the one who loves us enough to enter into the depths of our hearts and rule there. Jesus is not afraid to establish his kingdom in the most broken places. He is not afraid to enter into the darkness of your heart and mine and shine his light. He is not afraid to go to where we're most wounded, where we're most rebellious, where we're most resistant to his reign, and meet us there. And in that encounter, my friends, is where everything changes in our lives. When we allow Jesus to be Lord, not just in the places where we feel good about ourselves, not just in the places where we're able to say, yes, Lord, I'm here for you, but when we allow him to reign and to rule, to truly be king, in those places where we resist him, where we run from him, where we try to create an identity that is not his for us, then his kingdom comes. And the glorious freedom of the children of God, which St. Paul talks about, is what we experience. Where is the kingdom, my friends? Well, the kingdom is first established here. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what we're praying first is that his kingdom be established in my heart, in the interior of my life, that he rule there, especially, as I said, in those places where we resist most, especially where we're most rebellious. If we allow Jesus to come in as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and establish his kingdom there, then we will be truly free. And his kingdom will come. And then, my friends, this. We'll get to the gospel. See, this kingdom isn't just a private reality. Jesus tells this great story, Matthew 25. Notice the criteria, my friends. First of all, it's a pass-fail test. Finals are coming up. But there's only one final that matters, honestly, and it is pass-fail. Jesus sets it up and he says, I was hungry, you gave me food. Thirsty, you gave me drink. Naked, you clothed me. Ill, you visited me. In prison, you came. And notice the people say, when did we do this for you? Whenever you did it for the least ones, you did it for me. Because once again, my friends, that kingdom is not found in precious and perfect places. That kingdom is found in those who are on the margins, those who have been pushed away. That's where the king is found, and that's where his kingdom is especially present. And if we allow the kingdom to be established here in our hearts, then necessarily we need to go out and seek to serve the king where he is found beyond us. The challenge for you and for me is to let Jesus come in his power, which looks like mercy, and visit us here, and truly reign in our hearts, and then to go out and to serve him If you want to know how, learn the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy that are on the final pillars before you leave the chapel. Feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Clothe the naked. Shelter the homeless. Care for the sick. Visit the imprisoned. Bury the dead. The corporal, the bodily works of mercy. Works because we need to do something with the grace we receive. And then these, lesser known but just as important, the spiritual works of mercy. Share knowledge. Give counsel to those in need. Comfort the suffering. Be patient with others. Forgive those who hurt you. Give correction to those who stray. Pray for the living and the dead. Concrete, real, incarnate ways to allow the kingdom not just to be established in your heart, but to be established in the world. You know, a lot of people right now are super tense about the world and even about this campus. I've heard so often there's a dark cloud hanging over everything, our nation, our world, our campus. Okay, enough with dark clouds. Serve the King of Kings. Let him establish his kingdom in your heart. And then do these very real, concrete works of mercy. Serve the people bodily through the corporal works of mercy. Serve others spiritually through the spiritual works of mercy. Watch the kingdom grow and expand in your own heart, but also grow and expand in the places where you are. That, my friends, is exactly how we are called to be. Another thing we do at Mass, which we don't do probably anywhere else, is we kneel. We genuflect. Genuflect means to bend the knee. I've talked about this before. Genuflection is, yes, a sign of submission, but it is also a sign of service. To bend the knee meant to give all my strength to the one I serve. Friends, when we genuflect, when we kneel at Mass, we say, yes, Lord, I want to serve you with all the strength that I have. But also this, I want to go and serve with all the strength that you give me. All that I have from you, I want to give to others. And that is how this world gets healed. That is how the darkness, whatever that looks like, in the world, on this campus, in your own heart, gets scattered, is precisely if we say, Lord, I bend the knee to you to receive your strength and then to go out and to give in incarnate ways, in the corporal works and the spiritual works of mercy. I choose to serve that way. And then, my friends, will we truly know Jesus as our King? And then, my friends, will we truly see his kingdom come and his will be done.